Great is thy faithfulness. Believe that goes along with some of the things I wanted to share here this morning, that song, but it goes on to say, there is no shadow of turning with thee. And is that what we know of God? Has that been our experience with the Lord, with the Almighty? Thou changest not, it says, and thy compassions, they fail not. Have we felt that? Do we know anything of that? Have we experienced some of that? As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. And I hope that's a firm conviction of ours. And, you know, whether it looks like it or not, that's how it is. And whether it feels like it or not, that's still how it is. Well, just welcome each one, and has been a blessing being here already this morning. Appreciated the thoughts that were shared, the attributes of God, and some of my thoughts here this morning, I have got them from the minister's meeting that we were at. A message was shared with us, and it was down these lines, so I borrowed some of my thoughts come from that, I've titled this, Hitherto Hath the Lord Helped Us. We go to 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12 is where I got that out of. 12 says, Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And I just wanted to consider, if we could, think back where, you know, in our lives, and then we want to look at the children of Israel there, and just think of where the Lord, how the Lord has helped us to this point. And, you know, I don't know what all that looks like for you all and what all experiences that y'all had, but for myself, I just there's, if we think back to how God has helped us to this point, and I'm thinking back when I was just a child, we think of some of these little ones around here. I seen Jason's have their new little addition here. That little child, you know, it can't take care of itself. You know, it's totally dependent on its parents. And we all were there one day. We all were there. And our parents took care of us, and God took care of us. God took care of us. He watched over us, didn't he? And there were times that things, you know, happened that we had no control over, you know, but God protected us. We're still here today. And I'm not sure how old I was, probably between 6 to 8, somewhere in there, that me and my older brother were riding in the front end loader of a tractor, and my dad was bush hogging, and he's kind of embarrassed about this, to be honest with you, I think, but that he didn't think further to do something like that. But we were there in that front end loader, and he forgot about this stump that was out there in the field. Actually, we're right along the fence row, until that front tire hit it, and bam, we were out of that bucket, you know, just like that. Just chucked us right out of there, and I landed on the fence or just missed the fence post. I busted one of my front teeth here. But I know my dad, he really hated that. But, you know, that was just inches away. It could have come down on top of the fence post. That would have been really bad. But wasn't the Lord looking out? I think he was. The Lord was had his hand of protection on us. And there's many. I mean, that's one thing that I think of that happened to me, you know. And you all have, you know, you all have those times. Times we don't even probably know about that God was with us and protected us and from physical danger. And sometimes, you know, he protects us even sometimes with our bad choices that we don't think very far, don't think far enough, you know, and he has protected us. And another time, I was a little older, and we had this old horse, and I thought I would teach it a lesson because it just wanted to. As soon as it headed off back towards the barn, you could not hold this thing back, and so I had the bright idea of just putting the fence back up. We went through a fence a lot of times, and I decided, well, I'll put that fence back up, and old horse will stop. Well, you know, I should have asked counsel. My dad, he'd have probably given me some wise counsel there, but, you know, I just went on my own there. And there we come, and that horse, you know, that fence never, I mean, yeah, we both stopped. We both ended up on the ground, but, you know, thankfully things, you know, we're still all together. I had a mark on my face where a hoof mark, you know, I don't know. We both were on the ground and I never did that again. But the Lord watched over us, you know. And then we get, you know, we get older and things happen. Physically, you know, we can't help situations that come into our lives, physical problems, maybe even we lose loved ones, things like that. But God has been with us, up to this point, you know, God has been with us and he still is, he's there. And, just want us to think back to where, you know, in your life, you know that God was there and he took care of the need, situation, you know, he was there and he's the same, just like we, sang in that song, you know, he's the same, yesterday, today, and forever. So let's, we'll look at the children of Israel. Let's go to Exodus there in about chapter 14. We'll just look a little bit at the children of Israel there. Maybe we can learn, hopefully, from maybe some of their the things that happened to them. Here we know the story. You all know the story here. How that God had done a mighty work there, brought all those plagues on Egypt, and you know he made a difference. He made a difference from the Egyptians to the Israelites, right? The Israelites weren't plagued with the things that the Egyptians were. So I mean, this didn't just happen, right? I mean, they all knew when they left Egypt that God was with them, right? And here they head out of Egypt there, and they come to the Red Sea. Maybe we'll just let's see here. We'll read. So in chapter 14, about verse 3, it says, "For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, God had told him to going back here, God had spake to Moses and told him to camp here. And he says, for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land and the wilderness has shut them in. And I was trying to do a little research there where they crossed the Red Sea. According to what best I could understand, there weren't too many places where this was actually possible to get down. And here Pharaoh looked on. He was able to look on and pretty easy to cut off the way back out of here. And there was no way really back out of here except one way. And then they had the Red Sea in front of them. And so here Pharaoh says, you know, they're entangled in the land. And so we'll go on here, and it says, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people, and they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot, took his people with him, and he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all, the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them and camped in the sea beside, before Baalazon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. It says, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. So here we go, and we see how that the people so... Did they forget what God had done? I'm sure they didn't forget, but, here's this big, vast sea in front of them, and they're really... I mean, the backtracking is cut off. There's no way to... We're stuck, you know. I mean, we're just going to be meat for these people. But the Lord had other plans, and I think that's, it's the same for us. You know, sometimes it looks like the way forward is cut off and the way backwards, maybe in whatever situation you can put it, whatever you got there. But you know, what did the Lord want his people to do? What did he want his people to do? Did he not want them to, as impossible as the situation looked, to trust him, to just trust him? And God worked. I mean, he brought, you know, all these plagues on Egypt. What else was God going to think of? You know, I mean, who's got the mind of God? You know, he can think of all kinds of things. But this was a big deal. This wasn't just a little creek, I don't believe. According to what I gathered, this thing is maybe you know, could have been a couple miles wide or something. It was a long ways across there, and this thing was deep too. And when they went through there, you know, we know how God, made the wind to blow, and he brought the cloud in between, you know, that pillar of fire was on their side as light. And all that night, you know, there's that wind blew, and it was darkness over here, and he kept the two so the Egyptians couldn't see what was happening. And that's how God worked this all out for them, and they went through there on dry land. But you know, this is real life, and they were here. These people, you know, they were real people, I believe, just like we are, and I think they knew how God had worked. But you know, when we just can't see past whatever's in front of us, you know, sometimes it's just hard to maybe trust or have faith in God, and that he'll carry us through it. It may not be exactly how we thought, but he'll carry us through. So we know the story there, how they made it through there, and Pharaoh's host was drowned, and it came just as God had said. But then we go into 3 days later there in chapter 15 of Exodus. We read here 3 days later in verse 22 of 15 says, "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water." Now this is 3 days without water in the wilderness, and I don't know, I'm guessing it was, I don't know, was it hot or cold, but I just was always thinking it'd be hot over there. But 3 days with no water, you know, we'd all be getting pretty thirsty, you know. And this would be on the top of our bucket list to get some water. I mean, we need to get some water. And so here they are in the wilderness and found no water 3 days out from this great victory that God had done. And it says, "And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah." I guess I'm saying that right, I'm not sure. "And the people murmured against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?' And Moses, as is, cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them." So here we see that the people, you know, again, I guess, what did God want from his people? When they got into this tough situation, they were thirsty. Their little ones were crying. I'm sure they were just like our little ones. You take a little one and 3 days without water, you know, this is getting urgent. And it says the people murmured against Moses, you know, God knows our needs. I believe God knows our needs, and he wants to make a way for us, but he does not enjoy to hear murmuring. And we can see that with the people here, this murmuring. But instead, I believe God wanted the people to trust in him and have faith that he was going to show them what to do, or make water out of the desert, or something. Something was going to happen here. (Clears So this was 3 days after the Red Sea crossing, and then we go, let's see, in chapter 16, they were, looks like they were maybe, says there in verse 1, the 15th day of the second month after departing out of the land of Egypt. So maybe about a month and a half out of Egypt, they were out here in the desert, and they says the whole congregation of children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And here again, the people, you know, they didn't have anything to eat. So we had water, but nothing to eat. And again, the situation is getting desperate. And here we see that that it says the whole congregation murmured. And against Moses and Aaron, you know, the story, how they accuse them of bringing them out there to die in the wilderness. And see in verse 12, says, or 11 says, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I've heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And here we see again how the Lord took care of them in a mighty way. He brought these quail, and they had flesh to eat all they wanted, and then they had bread in the morning. But why was God not pleased with them? Was it not because of their lack of faith? And faith in Him and just trusting God that He will make a way for them somehow. I mean, we can't see it. We don't know. It's going to have to be a miraculous working of God. God wanted faith and not fear. So again, God took care of them, and then we go to want to look at where they sent the spies into Canaan, and that's in Numbers chapter. Numbers 13. It is. Numbers chapter 13. We'll see here. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And then it goes on to say how he commanded one out of every tribe. So there was 12 men that went to search out Canaan. And we know the story, I'm sure, how that was. And it says in verse 17, it says, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. And what is the land, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So what did they bring back? they did bring some ripe grapes back, right? So they did that. But it was only Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that actually had the faith that God would help them. And all the others had, it says they had an evil, brought back, an evil report. In verse 32, that same chapter, it says, "And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so they were in their sight, and so we were in their sight." So they were never commissioned to go to see if they could actually conquer the land. They were just commissioned to see what was in it, to see, you know, if it was a good land. Moses told them here to spy out the land and see the people that dwell therein. Are they weak or strong? Good, was the land good or bad? If they live in tents or in cities, and they were never to, the decision wasn't theirs to whether or not they could take the land or not. But yet they brought this report that there's no way, they convinced the people there was no way we could take this land, except for Joshua and Caleb. They had the faith that the Lord would work. I mean, he had worked in all these times, right? Coming up to it, although we don't know, they were big men. You know how in the world this is going to be, but wasn't it God brought bees the one time, bees and stung the people like. And they were able to get a victory. We can't think of all the ways that God works and moves. And our minds are so limited. But God has, he has all things in his hand. He has all the resources he needs. He asks us to have faith and trust in him and not to fear. It's good for us to remember, where God has worked in the past when we're in a difficult time, where God has worked in the past and see how God has moved and brought us to where we are, and allow God to do that again. So maybe we could go to Joshua and we'll look there where they actually did. So this was after the 40 years, and Moses is dead and gone, and Joshua is leading the people. In Joshua chapter 2, Joshua sends spies into the land. It says, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, Go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there." So here we see, this time Joshua sent two spies into the land to spy it out. Just wanted to note the difference, what happened here. Why didn't it work the first time? And here we go on the second time. to spy out the land. And just the people's response, I think, is the difference. Then verse 23 and 24 there, it says, so the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. And so this was a report that these two men brought back. And I believe we know the story there, how they made it to Jericho and were... this Rahab hid them, and then they were able to escape to the mountain. And but they looked the land over, the city, and their report was that we were that they yeah that the inhabitants fainted of Israel. They were scared of them. In chapter 3, going into chapter 3 of Joshua, says, and Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And it says they commanded the people how that they were going to do this when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, the priests were going to take it, and that the people were supposed to follow after them. And I had to wonder here, you know, it says they journeyed down here and came to Jordan. This is Joshua and all the children of Israel, and they lodged there before passing over. You know, here's another river. How are we going to get over this thing? And and you know, this wasn't just I mean, did they pick the best time to cross this river? It says in verse 15 it says that this river was at a flood stage. It says that verse 15 that Jordan overflowed all his banks all the time of harvest. And this was a time of harvest. And so the river was plumb overflowed, you know, and it would seem like impossible. How are we going to get over this river? But here they are again by the river. And, but the difference, what made the difference that this time, they're going over, and the spies, what made that difference? And we don't read of any murmuring, of the children of Israel, that here they had to wait 3 days. I mean, why didn't they just go right straight across that river as soon as they got there? I mean, why pitch their tents and set up camp for 3 days? For 3 days they sat there and till the Joshua said it was time, and here we go, you know. And it seems like there wasn't, we don't read anything about that was a problem. So we know the story there, how that they, the priests, actually the river says stop flowing, or went, how does it say? In verse 15 there, it says, they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water. It says that for Jordan overflowed all its banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far. And so it sounds like it was just like a dam, you know, put there across that river, and there was a great flooding went on back behind here. You know, there was a lake all of a sudden, and these there were places affected by all this flooding of this river that stopped, and it just rose up, and the priests went through there. We know the story. Now, what made the difference? Was it not faith? Faith in God and not fear of the unknown, of the impassable. It was faith in God. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So I'd just like to also look maybe back. We'll go back to 1 Samuel there where I started out at. And this, where this was born out of, this verse, verse 12 there, was again they were, this is the children of Israel, they had turned from God, they did many times, and again they, it says, that the ark, was gone for a long time, for 20 years. It says for 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. It sounds like there was a turning again to the Lord. And I'm in chapter 7 of 1 Samuel, and starting in, maybe we'll start reading in verse 3, and it says, "And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and serve the Lord only. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the people of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel, and when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines." And I thought this was interesting, how that here they had turned to their hearts back to the Lord, the people. And then how that so quickly, it seems like sometimes a test comes. Here's the first test. I mean, you know, there's maybe a victory. There's a victory, but then there's a test. And here we go. They were turning their hearts to the Lord, and then here the Philistines hear about it, and they say, "Hey, they're all gathered together. You know, it'll be easy to get them." Verse 8, "And the children of Israel said to Samuel, Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel." So, you know, here again, they were at a difficult spot. I mean, what were they going to do? I mean, the Philistines are there. But they had faith in God. They asked Samuel to cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us. And, you know, I think that should be our cry, you know, face situations in life that, you know, it's the Red Sea in front of us, and there's an army behind. There's no way out of this. But let's keep crying out to the Lord. He will see us through. I mean, his hand isn't short. You know, it may not all be like it may not all work out like we thought. It may not all end up like we had in mind, but the Lord's arm won't be short to reach every one of us. And, He will be there and we can seek Him. And here the Lord says He thundered. And I don't know, was that like a big thunderstorm? What He brought on there? But it was severe enough that it must have been something that the Philistines hadn't seen before. That they knew that this was something serious was against them, and they got all, you know, it says they were discomfited, and I mean, they were just, I don't know what all that means, but Israel had, won the victory over them, and they pursued after them there. And that is where then Samuel took a stone and set it up there between Mizpah and Shem, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." And that's my desire, is that we all could have those maybe stones or in our lives, you know, where we can even think back, and you know that the Lord was with us through this situation, and He brought us through. And you know, even though we can't maybe see where the end of all these things come to, He will see us through, you know. And hitherto hath the Lord helped us, and He will see us through if we will trust in Him. But, you know, Samuel had told the people here, he said, "Put away your idols." And, I didn't make any list of idols, but you could, I mean, there's many things in our lives that can take our focus off of Christ and faith in Him. And, it can be things maybe that aren't necessarily so wrong in themselves, but just take up our time and our energy. And but we need to put God first. God is saying, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." in Nehemiah, just a verse here in Nehemiah 1:9 says, "But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there." God's hand isn't short. He has all things under His power. In James 4:8 says, "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." And just like to leave that with us, that we would draw nigh to God, and we know that He will draw nigh to us. And He desires that. He desires that for our lives. He desires it even more than we do, to have a relationship. So, in the coming days, let's draw nigh to the Lord. Let's seek Him. Let's put our faith, our trust in Him. Maybe we could all just kneel yet for a word of prayer, or those that can kneel. Our Lord God in heaven, we just do pause and cry out to you, God. We ask for your help, Lord, in our lives. Lord, you have helped in the past. Lord, we've read these accounts how you led your people, your children, and through very difficult times. And Lord, it is no different today. Lord, we find ourselves in difficult times, and we need your help. We need your hand. We need faith. And God, we just pray for your help in our lives and situations that we face. Lord, we can't see to the end of this day, but you know what lies ahead of us. And we just want to commit our lives into your hand and ask for your help and your direction and your peace and your mercy. And we ask for your help here today, and just pray you go with us this coming week, and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.